If you would take the Pew Bible and turn to page 830, and we're just going to read one verse there, and then we're going to go to page 213. So page 830, and then 213. Let's stand as we read God's Word and respect His Word. If we can stand, let's stand. This morning we want to look primarily at this verse, which has been a great encouragement to all of us over the years, I am sure. In Philippians chapter 1 and at verse 6, we read these words, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." So you may want to keep your finger in there, but going then to page 213, and I'm reading from 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verses 6 through 8. 1 Samuel 30, 6 through 8, on page 213. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar, the priest, the son of Ahimelech, "Bring me the ephod." Abiathar brought it to him. And David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them?" "Pursue them," he answered. "You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue." And Father, we are thankful for your word this morning. As we come to spend a few moments in it, would you indeed take that word and cause it to live in our hearts by the ministry of your Holy Spirit? Cause us to grow in grace and in knowledge of you and to be strengthened in the walk of faith. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And we want to spend a few moments in thinking about confident. Are there times when you feel confident and all of a sudden something changes? And wow, that can happen very quickly. Life does not always give us quite what we expect. Roberta and I were in South Africa one time, and when we came home, we discovered there were 8 messages on the phone from credit bureau people pressing us for money for a debt that we felt that we didn't owe. And whoa, where did that come from? And you know, I was tired, but that really hit my confidence level. Because one of the things we've tried to do over the years is pay our bills. Isn't it interesting how quickly reputation and things like that can change? And so what had happened is that my wife's identity had been stolen, and a number of things had been purchased in her name and so on. And it's a long story, and I won't go into it because it's just a stepping stone into the text to demonstrate how quickly things can change. Happy to say we didn't end up going to jail or anything like that. It did all get sorted out eventually. But it's that hit at the confidence level that happens sometimes so quickly and from such an unexpected kind of direction. And so when we look at Philippians 1:6, we want to just think about the fact that the Apostle Paul speaks about being confident. Something that you and I can be confident in. The things of this world are transient, they come and go. But there is something that we can rest our confidence in and know that it is in safekeeping. Now, Paul was away from the Philippians. He wrote this letter when he was in jail in Rome. And as he writes to them, his thoughts were with them. If you read the chapter, you'll see he speaks very tenderly of how he loved them and prayed for them and thought about them. And he knew there would be challenges because there are always challenges in life, aren't there? So he's concerned for them, but his confidence level is high. And it is high. He is confident because God starts what he finishes. And I love this thought, don't you? God finishes what he starts. He doesn't just leave it somewhere in process. And as I researched the word for confident, it really means to inaugurate. What God inaugurates, he finishes. So, as we think about this word, he begins a good work. And what is that? That's the work of salvation. And many of us this morning have experienced that new birth when we know that Christ came to live in us and we were changed and experienced this new life in Christ Jesus. God, who begins that work of salvation, transforming us into the image of his Son. What a work that is. And he brings freedom and he brings forgiveness. He takes away the guilt and the shame, and he grants us this cleansing from the inside. So many people figure, well, if I just clean up my act a bit, it'll be okay. But Jesus says, no, let's deal with the heart issue and bring cleansing from the inside out. And then people will see that there is a change right from the very heart of things. He cleanses us. And Paul knew this in a very personal way. In Acts chapter 9, in verses 1 through 3, he's going to destroy the church, and he meets Christ on the road, and his life is changed and transformed. People had a hard time believing that he had become a Christian. The believers were very suspect of this man, Paul, because of all the things he had done in the past. But as he perseveres, they begin to see, this is not the same man who said, let's stone Stephen. This is not the same man who took the garments of those who were throwing the stones and laid them at his feet. This is a very different individual. So he had experienced that God began something there on the road to Damascus, and he had been following with Jesus ever since. So his confidence was not based on feelings, but on facts. And that is one of those fundamentals of our faith, that our confidence is not about how we feel, not about the circumstances that we may be engaged in, but in the facts of what God says in his word and how he applies that to us. All of Scripture points to Christ. And Paul, as he began that new life, preached Christ all the way until the Lord took him to glory. In Acts 16 and verse 14, he goes to Philippi. There's not a believer in the place. And he goes out to speak to a group of ladies. And it says, there was Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened to hear and to understand the gospel and to believe that it was true and what Paul said was right. Now, many can testify to this truth, that God has saved me and God is at work in my life. But are there not also times when we struggle and we say, oh, he used to walk with Christ and oh, he's away out in left field now. He'll never return. And are there not those who are prodigals in all of our lives and families? But this verse is a great. If you have time some Monday night, come to prayer meeting. In fact, whether you have time or not, come to prayer meeting Monday night, 7 o'clock in the fireside room, and you'll meet a man with a strange accent. He is Scotty. She was here last Sunday night at the close of the missions conference, Ian Shields. When he was young, he used to sing in a gospel quartet in Glasgow. Imagine singing with that accent. Who would the words come out? But when he came to Canada and got engaged in things, and he drifted away. And 35 years later, in a political meeting in the basement of a house, he's sitting there talking about politics, and he's hearing music upstairs that is just those old gospel hymns that he used to sing as a young man. The following Sunday morning, he said to his wife, and I have his permission to tell this story. The following Sunday morning, he said to his wife, "Let's go to church." And they happened to go to an Alliance church here in the city. They're still there. You see, circumstances would say, look how desperate that is. That's a hopeless situation. 35 years. But the same God who loved him in the first place loves him still and pursues him with that relentless love of God until he is in the right place at the right time to hear that God is still God and he is still a Savior. You know, often we run away from God. I've done it. Hands up anybody in here who hasn't run away from God. Oh, you know what, Pastor Shea? We pastor the most honest congregation in Regina. There's not a hand up. You all understand that? That's right. That's true. We've all done it in some way. But God, in his relentless love, pursues. So when we think about this confidence that Paul is speaking of here, how marvelous is that? How absolutely encouraging is that? And then he goes on and he speaks to say that God will complete what he has begun. He'll carry it on to completion. Literally, he will evermore put his finishing touches on it. That's the exact translation of that word from New Testament Greek. I'll say it again because I promised I wouldn't jump about too much, but actually, you know, it's enough to make you just roar. He will evermore put his finishing touches on it, on you if you're in Christ, on me in Christ Jesus. The Word of God, again, is full of illustrations, the Lord completing what he has started. In the book of Ezekiel, let's just take a minute and skip over there to the book of Ezekiel and to chapter 20. And I just want to show you something amazing in this 20th chapter of Ezekiel. I'll do it quickly, and then we'll go back to the complete work of God. In Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 8, and it says, "But they rebelled against me and would not listen to me. They did not get rid of the vile images they had set their eyes upon." And it goes on to speak about that. And then in verse 13, it says, "Yet the people of Israel rebelled against me in the desert. They did not follow my decrees, but rejected my laws." And then again in verse 21, "But the children of Israel rebelled against me. They did not follow my decrees. They were not careful to keep my laws." Now in the same chapter, let's look at verse 9. We read verse 8 before, and in verse 9 it says this, "But for the sake of my name, I did what would keep it from being profaned in the eyes of the nations that they lived among. For the sake of my name," God says, even in rebellion, he didn't wipe them out. Let's go to verse 14 Again, right after verse 13 where we read, "But for the sake of my name, I did what would keep it from being profaned in the eyes of the nations in whose sight I had brought them out." And again in verse 22, "But I withheld my hand, and for the sake of my name, I did what would keep it from being profaned in the eyes of the nations in whose sight I had brought them out." And I'll just go over to verse 44 in the same chapter. "You will know that I am the Lord when I deal with you for my name's sake, and not according to your evil ways and your corrupt practices, O house of Israel, declares the sovereign Lord." You see, there is that sense of God's people were not living for God, but in his work of completing what he started, he brought them out of Egypt. And despite where they were, he brought them into the promised land. Yes, he dealt with things along the way. You'll find in the story of Jonah and Isaiah and Moses and so on, all of these wonderful principles and truths that God finishes what he starts. But I want to just zero in on one for a few moments. Let's look at this passage in 1 Samuel 30, verses 6 through 8, and look at David. Okay? Now, I'm going to do a little advertisement here, okay? So, while you're turning to 1 Samuel 30 again, I am going to begin a series of messages on March 24th on the life and character of King David. And it is full of rich lessons that will benefit and bless us as we grow in Christ. But as we think about this, it tells us in the text that David was greatly distressed. Ever been distressed? Sure. We understand there are circumstances that come and we get distressed. It could be for any number of reasons. But in this case, David acted without God. He went and acted in his own way and in his own wisdom, and the result was disastrous. He was worn out because Saul, the king, was persecuting him, and he was afraid. Now, David had been anointed by Samuel. You'll find it in 1 Samuel chapter 15, I believe. And Samuel anointed him and said, "You're going to be the king of Israel." But Saul was the king of Israel, and he is persecuting David. And so David's seeking for safety, and sometimes we do this too, he went to the Philistine army. Talk about a reversal. You see, he didn't trust what God had told him through the prophet Samuel. He thought, "I have to do something to preserve my own life." And the result was disaster. It brought him great distress. Bitterness came from it. There was loss that came from it. And this is always true when we walk away from the Lord. Even his own men are talking about stoning him here in 1 Samuel 30. No wonder he's feeling low. He had to feign madness so that the Philistines would kick him out and say, "We don't need another madman around here." He had to run around King David drooling down his beard like he'd gone bananas. And the Philistine king said, "We don't want him." And when he went back home to the city of Ziklag, it had been sacked. All his people were taken away. And so David was distressed. He was fainting in heart. Ever felt that way? Yes, I believe we can all say that. He is feeling friendless. Even those soldiers who were so loyal to him are talking about, "Let's pick up stones and get rid of him." He is feeling forsaken. Don't we feel that way sometimes when circumstances press us down? He is overwhelmed with sorrow. And sometimes life is just like that, isn't it? Circumstances just press in on us. In Ireland as a boy, I learned many times over the proverb, trouble never comes alone. Have you noticed that? It's just like that first chapter of Job. Things come one after the other after the other. Overwhelmed with sorrow. But in the text, it tells us that he encouraged himself in the Lord. He finds strength in the Lord. And you and I can too. Before leading others, he encouraged himself. He went back to the Lord, which is where he should have gone in the first place, but hadn't. Human wisdom gets in the way sometimes. And he is looking to God alone now. And guilty as he was, I love the fact that God doesn't say, David, you blew it. You made a big mistake. You're right. Forget it. Done with you. That's what the world would say. But God says, you go ahead, and I'll go with you. And you'll recover it all. You see, when he went to God, looking back to those days that were full of the presence and the love of God, and he goes again to the one who loves him, there is that sense of renewal and strength going on in such a wonderful way. He goes seeking direction and asking, inquiring of God. Now he's not saying to his man, well, look, don't stone me. Let's gather up and let's go after these guys and we'll tune them up. We'll get the whole thing back. We. He didn't say any of that. He says, Lord, should I pursue? You see, he has come full circle. And he knows what a failure it is when we put our trust in ourselves and in the things that we can do. Yes, he still had to march. Yes, he still had to battle. But he knew the first step that he took out of Ziklag that God had told him, you'll recover it all. It will be restored. Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will also complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. If we had time to go on and look, everything is restored. David is back at peace with God, peace with his people, and everything is as it should be. There's a completion to that. What a great lesson this is. Complete. You know what? I think about, Lord, what would you still have me do? I'm not 18 anymore. What would you still have me do? And when I stop here, I realize it doesn't matter if I live to be 70, 80, 90, even if I crack 100. He will complete what he started. Now that is a comfort, is it not? Is that not a tremendous comfort to you and me this morning? To know that the God who saved us is also in the business as we trust in him. And please hear me say, yes, obedience is so necessary. We have to do our part and obey him and walk with him. But just look at the graciousness and the power of this loving God who says to you and me, if you've come to me, I'll complete what I started. Now, maybe you have questions today. If you're younger, you might be thinking, what am I supposed to do with life? I don't even know what job to try for. Put your hand in the Savior's hand. You can trust him. He will complete what he started. That's a tremendous comfort to us, to you and to me. Last Sunday morning, Angela Fraser, chaplain Angela mentioned what a wonderful comfort it is in Psalm 138, verse 8. She says, I love this verse. It says that God will basically complete what he started in me. You can check it out later. I won't take time to go to it. I just mention it as an additional scripture. 14 years earlier, David had been anointed to be king. And 14 years go by, and God, despite all the circumstances, brings him to that place in such a marvelous and God-ordained way. So wherever you are on the journey this morning, let me just take a moment to say, your confidence need not rest in what you do, but in whose you are. Christ Jesus, who loves you and has saved you, he will also finish in your life what he started. I often cry when I do the benediction from the book of Jude. I thought I'd use it this morning in a few moments. You know, it says he's able to present you faultless. Now, I tell you what, Joe, something has to change in me before that faultless happens. And don't laugh too hard, because something has to change in you as well. But he will complete it, just as he has said. When a word comes from him, what a promise it is, what an encouragement it is. When we bring our concerns to him as David did, we can be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Yes, we must be obedient just as David went on to battle, and we must walk in nearness with him. So let me conclude this morning just by saying this. As the worship team comes, they're going to lead us in a song. And as we sing, I want to encourage you, just take a few moments in prayer. Yes, even as you sing, acknowledge our doubts and fears and our failures and our struggles, and acknowledge his grace and truth, and just depend upon him. And like David, be encouraged in the Lord your God. Let your confidence rest in him. At the end of the service, if you have a need for prayer, some of us will be here. Please feel free to come. God bless you.